It's 17 minutes to 8 now. Well, I drove past a supermarket with all its lights blazing on the way in to work this morning at an hour that I wasn't familiar with.
Life in the 21st century has speeded up. At least, that's the perception. Whether it's true or not, many of us feel there simply aren't enough hours in the day. TUC figures show we're putting in 1.8 billion unpaid hours at work, safeguarding our jobs and doing tasks that used to fall to now redundant colleagues. The demands of family life are tougher too, with three quarters of parents saying there's no time for themselves. And the soundtrack to it all is the constant ping, ping, ping of calls, texts and emails. But is life really more frenetic than it used to be? Or is it all in our minds? In this series, we've taken on a bold experiment to dig deeper into that sense of freneticism. Do we love being busy really? Because it makes life meaningful? Or, if not, can we counterbalance it? I've been following three busy people who are taking part in a month-long Radio 4 experiment to slow down their lives. Steve runs his own business helping water companies prevent pollution, and has, by his own admission, been working long, family-unfriendly hours.
I found that my working day was incredibly intense, incredibly fast, very busy, lots and lots of information coming in, lots of decisions to be made, and it just left me with no time to step back and think about the bigger picture.
Lizzie works part-time as a health visitor and has three young children.
Life is just so busy, busy, busy with family life and just trying to keep on top of everything that I felt that is there something that I can do to feel that life is a little bit more enjoyable for me, but mainly for the children.
And Scott is on Job Seekers Allowance, but has a hectic life running local activities like the annual carnival.
Prior to taking on this experiment, I think a lot of it was managing what I did. And because I'm managing it a heck of a lot better now, I think the future can hold some great things for me.
Scott, Lizzie and Steve are halfway through the experiment. They've each been challenged to look closely at their daily lives and dare to make some very practical changes. Steve has been switching off all that pinging technology for a couple of one-hour periods each day to reduce the distractions. Lizzie's been trying to make some more space in her day instead of racing against the clock. And Scott's been working on saying no to some of the requests he gets for help and to pace himself instead of panicking. With 2 weeks of slowing down under their belts, they met up in Manchester to compare notes.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I've thoroughly enjoyed the process of the experiment so far, and I'm finding the techniques that I've been trying really quite useful. And it's filtering into everyday life as well, because I'm focusing more, and already I've found that the technique of shutting down emails and just focusing on the job in hand is transferring itself to other things, just generally in life.
I actually agree with you there. I mean, everything's gone extremely well. I don't think I've had any downside of it. I've got the carnival next week and I'm still relaxed now, as you can see. Normally I'd be freaking out at this time, you know. And I think a lot of it boils down to managing my time and what I can and can't do.
I think I've maybe found it hard. And maybe it's just by nature of the fact that a lot of the things that I'm busy with, I don't feel that I can opt out of. But I've started to put plans in place to perhaps let go of some of the responsibilities that I take upon myself in coordinating things at home and allowing other people to play their part in that. So being able to stand back from my own situation and have somebody say, oh, you know, this is what's happening, and describe it back to you, it kind of allows you to reflect on it and think, oh yeah, I could do it differently.
Against my expectations at the outset, being the kind of person who hates not being busy, they seem to be adjusting wonderfully. The man responsible, slow coach Carl Honoré, is a former journalist who is a spokesperson for a growing slow movement. He argues that the virus of hurry has infected every corner of our lives, and that we can be more productive, happier and healthier if we find a way to slow things down. Really? Aren't some of us just built for speed?
I think most people now have a sense that we're racing through our lives instead of actually living them. So wherever you go around the world now, people are looking to relearn the lost art of slowing down.
Well, Carl, this slow experiment has been running for a couple of weeks now. How do you think it's been going?
Well, it's going much more smoothly than I thought it would, I have to say. What surprised me most is that there hasn't been more pushback, or the participants haven't experienced more acute withdrawal symptoms.
So, we're coming into the final couple of weeks. What have you recommended that the participants do in those weeks, and why?
In the first half of this experiment, I gave our three participants each a personal recipe with specific concrete techniques to put into practice in their lives that would help them to slow down. So what I'm hoping to do in the second half of this experiment is to get the participants to step back and to look at the big canvas. And the reason for that is that I want this slow approach to be much more than just a month's experiment. I want it to be life-changing. I want it to be something that becomes embedded in the way Lizzie, Steve, and Scott think about themselves and their place in the world.
It's not easy to step back from busy lives. If you slow down, who picks up the slack? At work, your colleagues have to shoulder the load that you've dropped. And what will the boss make of you idling? At home, you have to have someone else you can hand over to before you can step back. And for a compulsive volunteer like Scott, who's up to his eyes with the local carnival, who else could or would have the experience to take charge?
Charlie 1 to all stations. Charlie 1 to all stations. We are, the parade is a go, the parade is a go. Receive. Might be good if probably Keith here, you here, then Pete, if you stand over there. Because as the wagons come in, they've got to come in and sort of like head towards the bank there,
yeah.
then level up. So if you could probably just keep an eye on people.
We need everyone behind this table.
Everybody behind this.
Last year, I ran everything, and I was crazy busy. This year, I'm delegating different jobs to different people, and this is why I'm so relaxed this year. I've actually set up a completely different phone number for the Lions work that I do, rather than having my own personal number. So I can leave that phone with any member of the club, but it doesn't necessarily have to be me.
That's inspired, isn't it? I mean, that wasn't on my original slow coach recipe for you, but I mean, that's a perfect extra ingredient. Well, you've made progress in leaps and bounds. It's wonderful. But of course, this goes on, and we need to solidify what you've achieved so far. And I think in some ways, maybe go deeper. So I would like to put you in touch with Oliver Berkman, who writes a lot about psychology, and who has also written a great deal and thought a lot about these questions of that awkwardly blurring line between work and the home, you know, the private and the public sphere.
Hello, is that Scott?
Hello.
It's Oliver Berkman here. So you're in Bury?
I certainly am, yeah.
Carl's decided that rather than depend solely on his own practical tips for slowing down, each participant would benefit from meeting someone with particular expertise who can help them to see the bigger picture. So what advice will Oliver Berkman be able to offer Scott? With the carnival over for another year, Scott wants to set up his own business, running events. But all could come to naught if he doesn't say no to some volunteer projects.
I've noticed in myself that self-esteem thing gets involved where it feels really good to be really, really busy. It feels like you really matter. One thing that really works and helps for me is just trying to have routines in the day or the week where you have 10 minutes or half an hour to sort of step back from the details into the big picture and ask yourself, you know, what are some things that came up in this week that I could actually follow up for my purposes rather than being totally swept along with the agenda of somebody else?
That's something which is important. And it's something which obviously, you know, I've not really done previously. Sometimes at that busy, I just don't stop.
One thing I've found very useful is literally to treat that like a meeting with another person. To decide it's going to be 3 o'clock on Tuesday and put it in your calendar or whatever it is, I think is one of the better ways I've found of trying to force a bit of that reflective time into an otherwise really busy day.
It's great you said about that because, like you say, you know, I need to set out specific times for reviewing or looking into how I'm going to approach this business, where at the minute it's just all over the place.
Sort of working on the direction of the business rather than actually working on the stuff of the business itself. A lot of the things you need to do to build a business or a freelance career they don't feel very productive in the moment. They might be calling someone who has done something similar in a different field and suggesting that you buy him a coffee and pick his brains on how he's done it. It doesn't feel like a very productive thing compared to all the urgent demands on your time. But in the long run, you know, I think it's the way to find that kind of expertise that's out there and take things to the next level.
Oliver's intervention obviously made Scott think, and a few days later, he's ready to take on the world.
Audio diary.
The last few days, I had a phone call from Oliver over in New York. So there's one thing that he did say, which has really stuck with me, and that is to take some time for yourself, just you. Sit somewhere, anywhere, and just think about something you've done and sort of like assess how bad or how good you've done it and work from that. And I tell you something, it really does work. Now, I've never ever done that in my life. And I think if everybody does this, I can probably almost guarantee that your weekly workload will make things so much easier for you because it gives you time. Now, I've used that technique over the last few days and I've not let anything pile up, and because I've taken control.
Scott's beginning to sound evangelical about slow. But for some people, being in control means being busy. Like Lizzie, who juggles a part-time job in the NHS with being a mother to three small children. From the moment she tips everyone out of bed in the morning till she sets the alarm at night, she's constantly on the run.
A lot of times she can say hurry up and hurry up, like when Elodie's in the mirror doing her hair, and Mum would say, hurry up, get downstairs for breakfast, it's already 8:20.
A lot of the things that I'm busy with, I don't feel that I can opt out of, although having heard my husband talking about my busyness, he believes that I probably make myself to be more busy than perhaps I need to be with housework and stuff. Thinking, oh, I wonder when he'd notice then it wasn't being done. So it's been quite interesting to reflect on that my family's perception of my busyness is different from my own, I think.
Of our three participants, Lizzie's been finding it hardest to slow down. Carl thinks it will be useful for her to take a wider perspective on family life.
Given your experience of the first half of the slow coach experiment, I think a good next step for you would be to go up to Edinburgh to meet the director of the Centre for Research on Families and Relationships. And you'll meet people who spend their lives studying the very questions that you're grappling with in your own home and your own life. You know, what has happened to the family in the early 21st century?
If nothing else, the slow coach experiment is giving Lizzie a chance to take a break from her hectic daily routine and have some breathing space.
The train stopped a few minutes ago at Berwick-upon-Tweed, so we're heading off well on the way to Edinburgh. We're getting at 11:20. To be honest, I'm actually just really enjoying being on the train and having some headspace. It's a real luxury. Yeah, it does. It feels like I'm on a mini break. It's just lovely.
Lizzie's on her way to visit Dr. Jenny Harden of Edinburgh University. Jenny's just done a 3-year study into working parenthood and how families achieve a work-life balance over time.
We hear these kind of metaphors quite a lot around juggling balls or spinning plates, how there's this constant sense of just teetering on the edge, right. And quite often the balls will drop or the plates will crash.
For me, I have a sense of feeling rushed all the time. Is that quite a common feeling?
Very. There was a real sense amongst the parents that they were harried, never having enough time, living life at a really fast pace, which isn't necessarily going to be a bad thing, but when it's associated also then with levels of stress, then it's more problematic. It wasn't just the amount that they were doing, but it was the synchronisation of demands that were often quite competing.
Yeah, gosh, that rings so true, because mornings are a real time for us in our house, just trying to get everyone off to school and get ourselves off to work and make it all happen to time. What's the experience of the children themselves? Do they notice this feeling of rush, and does it make a difference to them?
Yes, the children were very aware of their parents' emotions at that point of the day, and they talked sometimes about grumpy mummy or tired mummy, and they had a sense of the time wasn't their own.
Mm.
But there was also evidence from the children that tried to find ways to help. So one boy talked about he started cycling to school on the days that his mum was working, and another boy talked about setting his alarm earlier so that he could slow down. So it's a kind of strategy to deal with the fact that he didn't like mornings because they were too rushed.
That's really interesting as well, because my 10-year-old gets up earlier than my two younger girls so that he can have breakfast in peace and watch a bit of TV.
Yeah.
It's interesting just thinking like millions of households across the country, this is sort of playing out. Do you find that there is a gender difference here? Have you found that women feel a more sense of responsibility for holding everything together?
Yes, definitely. And we kind of began to think of it in terms of the mothers being the project managers. So they're the ones that are in charge of coordination and organisation of the family. A lot of the fathers in our study contributed a huge amount to family life and contributed to picking up and dropping off children and so on. But it was the mothers that were the organisers. So they were the ones that were trying to solve the issues around synchronisation that often caused problems and knew what everybody was doing at all times.
So what do you think of my project of trying to slow down? Is it possible, or is it just a fact that life with a young family is a rush?
I would hope from the kind of things that we've been talking about, you'd get a sense that it's not just you and your family, that it is a very, very common experience. And I think while that can be quite useful to address things individually, it's also important to look at a more societal level and see what can be done on a larger scale to try and improve things.
Sometimes just knowing you aren't alone is enough. Working parents around the country are feeling just as harried as Lizzie. But even while she's consoling herself with that thought, she knows things will get even busier this autumn when she goes back to work full time. Husband Greg is reducing his hours to take over part of her project management role. Does he really grasp the size of the task he's taking on?
I'm trying to incorporate some sort of variety, but I'm struggling with that. So ham or turkey in the sandwich, slices. And I've tried tuna and mayonnaise, but then the sandwiches get a bit soggy. And I just see what they eat and what they don't eat. And so I need some more inspiration. I think I've just reached that level where they're maybe getting a bit bored. And then they're saying, oh, can we go for school dinners now? She's more busy than I thought. Definitely, yeah, there's things which I know she did, which I didn't really compute. Cleaning the floor, changing the sheets on the bed, you know, certain things that need doing that before sort of like, I suppose they just sort of magically happen.
So Greg is going to be the one looking for the childcare arrangements that are going to be need to be put in place for September when I go back to work full time, and he is going to have the conversations around about the days and the times that the children go to the childminder. It's making me feel a little bit anxious, but I know he'll do a great job, and hopefully it should alleviate some of this busyness in my mind, worrying about how everything's going to work out.
What we've seen in this experiment is that slowing down isn't just about giving things up. Slowing down can actually mean adding in activities that help you to ease the pace. With that in mind, Coach Carl is sending businessman Steve to acquire some new skills that might bring some calm and focus into his life, perhaps something that his family and work colleagues will benefit from too.
I know, Steve, from all our conversations that distraction is a big problem for you, and you've described yourself as an information junkie. Mindfulness is a secular form of meditation that uses techniques to help us bring our mind and our focus into the present moment rather than to be distracted by a million other things at the same time.
That sounds interesting, Carl. It sounds like something that might work shoulder to shoulder with what we're doing here.
It's interesting that the scientific research now is coming out to support the benefits. It turns out that people who meditate over a long period of time begin to change the structure of their brain. They increase the level of what's called gyrification, and that means they have more folds in the cerebral cortex. And what does that do? It enables them to process information faster. So it brings us back to that delicious paradox of slowing down, which is that those who slow down through meditation will be able to react more efficiently and more quickly when the time is right than those who are just stuck in fast forward, going fast all the time.
It is encouraging to me that it's not an airy-fairy thing that is perhaps a bit too much about meditation and not enough about getting on with the work that needs to be done. So I'm encouraged. I've just arrived at Forest Hills, which is associated with Lancaster University. It's a beautiful setting, and I'm here today for a mindfulness course with Dr. Jan Goss.
So what I'd like you to do is, we don't need to sit cross-legged on the floor. We can do it on a chair, which is fine. We need to have our feet flat on the floor, if you can do that comfortably. And we need to assume an upright posture.
Mindfulness is a meditation technique, but it's also a state of mind. The practice really is about being in the present moment, so we concentrate on the breath. We sometimes do a body scan, we sometimes do eating meditation, we sometimes do walking meditation, all with the intention of bringing our attention into the present moment and looking at our experience without judgment. One of the main areas that it's used is in stress reduction, but as I started doing research into it, I realised that this was about a lot more than stress reduction. It does help with focus and concentration, so this gives us an opportunity to just take time out of the day, just to disconnect from all that distraction. And then when we go back into our working life or our daily life, we have the benefit of a calmer state of mind. And then we're going to take a few deeper, more conscious breaths, breathing right down into the abdomen, so allowing the abdomen to soften and relax, allowing the abdomen to extend outwards on the in-breath.
Hello, Steve.
Carl, hello, how are you?
How are you getting on with your slow recipe?
I have to admit that I'm finding the mindfulness practice harder to master and harder to get any immediate tangible value from.
I can tell you from personal experience that it is difficult at first, because there's nothing we find harder than sitting still, focusing and doing nothing, especially in the early 21st century when everything around us is pushing us in the opposite direction. So the thing is to stick with it, to be patient, to slow down slowly, if you like.
Now, I understand that, and knowing that others find it difficult and challenging is quite encouraging, because I thought maybe it was just me, so that's useful, thank you.
Steve now faces the challenge of bringing the practice into his daily working life, rather than slipping back into those old habits.
Steve, final week, Tuesday evening. Been a long day today, 5:45, driving away from home, heading for meetings in the Midlands. M6 was a car park in places as usual. Instead of allowing myself to get frustrated by the traffic, I did stay calm, so at that level, the mindfulness is working well for me. It did help today.
But 24 hours later, it's a different story.
I really feel a difference today, but it's in a negative way. I've had a very hectic schedule. I've been in the office today with no real breaks, meetings, interviews, and I've come home just in time to meet guests who are arriving shortly for a family evening. And I don't have time to go and sit quietly and do mindfulness. And I really feel the difference. I've also realised that that means that I can't generate a state of calmness and stay there permanently. It's something I have to work at bringing myself back to.
It's the end of Slow Coach Month. From the start, I've been sceptical. We're busy because we choose to be. It feeds our ego and self-esteem, makes life meaningful, and without it we'd feel less useful. To slow down would signal to others that we aren't as important or as indispensable as we'd like them to think we are. But while I seem unable to change my spots, my final conversation with our three participants proves that they are, happily, less set in their ways.
Well, it just went so quickly. The month gave me a chance to think about what I need to do, and now I need some time to actually start to do it on a more regular basis, if that makes sense.
That does make perfect sense.
I think family life is such that it's always going to be pretty hectic. And in a way, part of being involved with the experiment has made me maybe accept that a little bit more, whereas I was thinking that I could be doing things better. But I feel like I've got better skills with regard to stepping back from a situation and think, am I actually rushing perhaps when I don't need to? That's definitely something that I will go on doing.
How much of this was new thinking to you, and how much of it was just common sense that you'd kind of forgotten about and didn't have time to reclaim?
Probably a bit of both. It's really interesting because some of the suggestions that Carl made were suggestions that perhaps friends have made to me or that I have even made to friends.
I have learnt things that I should have known a long time ago. I've put them into practice. They work and they are with me forever. And they're so simple.
If anybody's listening, they're running a business like you are, what is that top one thing that you would say to them that would really benefit their business then?
It would be give yourself some breathing space. Don't be pressurised by the newfound ability to communicate 100% of the time with the outside world and allow the outside world 100% of the time to communicate with you.
I've been able to put my life in order. I am saying no to things. But then other events, I'm actually putting a team there. Rather than having to do everything myself, which is what I've done before, I'm not doing that now.
In a way, by stepping back and taking that look at the situation, you've made an investment in other people's future as well, because you've built a really good team around about you.
Yeah, because I've learned to take time out for myself to think about what I'm doing. I'm actually sat on my couch. I'm actually just watching the film, actually, while I'm waiting for this evening. But I would never be doing it. I'd be on the computer doing something ready for the event, the upcoming event. But it's all in order. Now, I've never been that organised. So what I'm actually doing every 3 or 4 days, I'm actually taking time out. And it's worked so much because I'm so much relaxed. You know, something which we all should be doing, but we just don't because we all say we don't have enough time.